Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a 5-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we embark on a very important journey. In this age of mis- and disinformation, deeply solidified opinions based on hearsay and hope, armchair internet philosophers, and www.dolts, we are going to dispel a widespread misnomer. The phrase, what the dickens, has absolutely nothing to do with Great Expectations around A Tale of Two Cities, where in a bleak house David and Oliver fall on hard times with their mutual friend Nicholas from the old curiosity shop and learn to sing A Christmas Carol. No. If we want to find the origin of what the dickens, we must travel just outside of London, via Uncle Will's writing desk in Stratford, of course, and back some 240 years before good old Charles would pen his first novel, The Posthumous Papers of the Pickwick Club, for a tale of suburban shenanigans, lusty letters, lurid larks, hilarious hijinks, and delightfully deceptive domestic dramas. Yes, it is back to the egregious and excessive escapades of Sir One John Falstaff in Uncle Will's The Merry Wives of Windsor. The play so far. Sir John, Windsor's resident freeloading rapscallion, who, being perpetually broke, decides the solution to his financial woes is seducing not one but two married women, and summarily dispatches identical love letters to Mistress Page and Mistress Ford, believing for some reason that women don't talk to each other. Our merry wives, obviously not as daft as Falstaff assumes, compares notes, quite literally, and realizes they've both been targeted by the portly Lothario. In Act 3, Scene 2, we find Mistress Page on her way to visit Mistress Ford with the young Robin, Falstaff's page in tow, when they are come upon by a rather jealous Master Ford.
Nay, keep your way, little gallant. You were wont to be a follower, but now you are a leader. Whether had you rather lead mine eyes, or I your master's heel?
I had rather, forsooth, go before you like a man than follow him like a dwarf.
Oh, you are a flattering boy now. I see you'll be a courtier.
Well met, Mistress Page. Whither go you?
Truly, sir, to see your wife. Is she at home?
Aye, and as idle as she may hang together for want of company, I think if your husbands were dead, you two would marry.
Be sure of that. Two other husbands.
Where had you this pretty weathercock?
Oh, I cannot tell what the dickens' name is my husband had him of. What do you call your knight's name, sirrah?
Sir John Falstaff.
Sir John Falstaff?
He. I can never hit on his name. There's such a league between my good man and he.
An interesting etymological nugget here is not so much the origin, but the journey. Dickens was used in place of devil as in what the devil, and being God-fearing people, inhabiting a world where the devil was considered all too real, there was some superstition around uttering the beast's name. There was also, at the time, an interesting little linguistic addition from the Dutch that people used as a term of affectionate diminution, adding the suffix kins, as in babykins. It also had the advantage of lessening the seriousness of naming Lucifer by using the term devilkins, which linguistically slides rather nicely into Dickens. So, better the Dickens you know. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.